Rogers. I'd like to turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. Very familiar verses to most of us. So Revelation 1, we'll read verses 4 through verse 20. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, and to him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so. Amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool and white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, for I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So what we've just read is John's account of a personal experience regarding Jesus Christ. It is something that he experienced in verse 9 while exiled to an island called Patmos. And that provides the setting of what we read in our text, this island of Patmos. John was there because he was an object of persecution, an opposition, and hostility. And as a result of that persecution, John finds himself in this place of difficulty, this place of hardship and suffering. But in our text, we see all of that is overshadowed by the glorious. And we're going to speak today on trials overshadowed, or trials overshadowing. Which is it? Our text provides many valuable lessons concerning the trials of life, the difficulties of life, and just circumstances in general. It is in verse 9 that John also speaks of his circumstances. But it's very, very, very important to note. I mean, read verse 9. It's very important to note that he mentions his circumstances almost in passing, as if it were no big deal. I, John, in tribulation, was in the isle called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, most in John's circumstances, you've been exiled to an island for being faithful to God. Most in those circumstances would have spent much time writing about the details of that. But that's not the case here. This is all he says about Patmos. Why? Because it wasn't his focus. His trials were not his focus. His circumstances were not his focus. He's on Patmos, but mentally, he didn't get stuck there. Why? Well, his situation on Patmos was overshadowed by something far greater. Patmos was eclipsed by that which was far more important. So again, I, John, in tribulation, was in the isle called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. What we see here is Patmos was not the main thing. He's been exiled there. He's been banished from his home and exiled to an island. This wasn't the main thing. And this needs to be so. Concerning our trials, our difficulties, or just our circumstances in general, we must not allow trials and difficulties and circumstances ever to become the main thing or to ever eclipse the main thing. But our trials and our difficulties and our circumstances are to be overshadowed by the main thing. In our text, the central theme is not Patmos. Just hang around with some people and listen to them talk about their circumstances and their trials. They'll go into great detail. Why do they do that? Because it's their focus. It's the main thing. Must beware that our trials and our difficulties and our circumstances do not become the central theme of our life. Now, that's easier said than done, of course. So let's consider the circumstances of John. By the time you come to the book of Revelation, John, from history, is the only surviving apostle. The only one left. And he's now somewhere between 90 and 100 years old. And it is a time of rampant and severe persecution. God's people were suffering intense persecution throughout the Roman Empire. Followers of Jesus Christ were looked upon with great contempt. They were accused of the most vile things imaginable. Politically, the Romans viewed the followers of Christ as being disloyal to Rome because they refused to acknowledge Caesar as the supreme authority. Religiously, they were despised because they refused to acknowledge the gods of their pagan neighbors. Socially, they were despised because they were going in a different direction than everyone else was going in. Economically, they were viewed as a threat to the livelihood of the priest and the craftsmen and the makers of idols. They were despised people. And persecution was everywhere. And the lives of God's people were made extremely difficult at this time. John in verse 9, he says, I was your brother and companion in tribulation. So that means others are suffering as well. But he uses this word, tribulation. It is a word that has reference to pressure and crushing weight that is intensely felt. Tribulation. This was the circumstance of John. He was under a crushing weight. Jesus had said in John's hearing, in John 16:33, in the world you shall have tribulation. But as you read on, he says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The tribulation was overshadowed by Christ. So again, beware of tribulation overshadowing the main thing. Now John goes on to say here in Revelation 1:9, I, John. Why didn't he just say, I? Why did he say, I, John? Because he's emphasizing that this is very personal. I, John, was in the isle called Patmos, a very small island in the Aegean Sea, about 20 miles west of Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey. Patmos. It's an island. Don't think of it as some Caribbean island with beautiful beaches and ocean breezes, but think more along the lines of Alcatraz, Patmos. It was a volcanic, treeless, rocky island with towering cliffs, very lonely, a very isolated place. It was a place where the Romans would exile criminals. It was considered to be a place of no escape. So it is a place of punishment. No doubt a place of difficulty. No doubt a place of suffering. A place of absolute misery. A place of desolation and gloom. And why is John there? Is it because he just decided to visit that island? No, he's there for the Word of God. He's been exiled there for holding and preaching the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ, or for bearing witness of Jesus Christ. Again, he's between 90 and 100 years old. He's been banished. He's been expelled from his home and exiled to this island called Patmos. And the reason he is there is not because of any wrongdoing. The reason he is there is because of his faithfulness to God and his word. He has been exiled there because of his faith in Jesus Christ. He has been exiled there for preaching and declaring that Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, is the only way to heaven, the truth, and life. He's been exiled there for being faithful, uncompromising in proclaiming God's free and sovereign grace in Christ, the sinner's substitute. John, in the teeth of powerful persecutors, did not hesitate to proclaim Jesus Christ, and as a result, he's now been expelled from his home and exiled to this island reserved for criminals. This was the circumstance of John. Again, Roman hostility to Christianity had erupted into open persecution. And John is now banished and exiled to Patmos to spend the remaining of his days. He is a victim of oppression and persecution. He has been mistreated. He has been abused. And he is thrown into the island in the middle of nowhere. This was his circumstance. But John gives us very little detail. All he says was, in tribulation, and the reason he was there. That's all he states. He doesn't go into any detail because it wasn't his focus. It wasn't his focus. His circumstances were not his focus. His circumstances were overshadowed by something far more important and greater. Again, beware of your circumstances becoming the main thing and overshadowing the main thing. That brings us to, what was it that overshadowed John's circumstances? I believe there are several things. John's circumstances were overshadowed by being a servant of the Lord. We read in verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. These are the words of John. Unto his servant, John. John sees himself as his servant. He sees himself as joined to the Lord in service. And that overshadows Patmos. You and I that are saved, we are the servants of God. And that is to overshadow all circumstances. Nothing is to overshadow that fact. We are the servants of God. So we do not allow our circumstances to cause us to cease to serve. Amen. When you do that, be sure of this, your circumstances have overshadowed that you are a servant of the Lord. The revelation of Jesus Christ unto his servant, John. John is recognizing with those words that Jesus Christ is his master. John is saying, he is my priority. Regardless of my circumstances, he is my priority. Regardless of my circumstances, I prefer him, I esteem him above all else, and I am separated unto him to do his bidding. I am his servant. That needs to be our focus. It is John saying, he is my motive. Yes, here I am on Patmos, but I am the servant of the Lord. And he is my motive. He is my reason for living. I am dedicated. I am committed. I am surrendered to his government, to his will, to his rules, to his ways, and to his interests. And Patmos didn't overshadow this. He is a servant of God. He is saying, I am here to glorify Him. And no matter what your circumstances are, and no matter what your trials or what your difficulties, here's a newsflash, you're not the first one. And you don't have it worse than Job. That's shocking to some. But it's true. And whatever your circumstances, you're His servant. And you're here to glorify and show forth Him. Don't ever allow your circumstances to overshadow that fact. Secondly, John's circumstances were overshadowed by what he knew came from God. In verses 4 and 5, you have the salutation of John. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. And then he follows by saying, grace be unto you and peace. This is what these seven churches needed. They needed grace and they needed peace. But then what follows, grace and peace, notice the very next word, from. Grace and peace. From, which indicates a starting point. In this case, the starting point of grace and peace. He goes on to use the word from three times, corresponding to the triune God. Now notice verse 4 and 5 again. Grace, peace unto you from Him, which is, which was, and which is to come. That's God the Father. And from, there it is again, second time, the seven spirits which are before His throne, referring to Isaiah, the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on, and from Jesus Christ. John realized that what was needed came from God. Grace and peace was what was needed. And John knew that it came from God. Even in the midst of adverse circumstances, John realized what I need comes from Him. Comes from Him. And whatever your circumstances are, whatever your trial, whatever your difficulty, do not let it overshadow this fact that what you need comes from Him. He has it, and He has the ability to send it to you. Many allow circumstances to cause them to forget that. And that's why they do foolish things. Because they're looking other places for what only comes from God. They've allowed circumstances to overshadow this truth. Thirdly, John's circumstances were overshadowed by his awareness of the Lord. Again, verses 4 and 5, John speaks of God in Trinity. He speaks of the immutability of the Father. He says He is, He was, and He is to come. He speaks of the character of the Holy Spirit, the seven spirits which are before His throne. Reference is made there to Isaiah 11 and verse 2. And then he goes on to speak of the person of Jesus Christ. He says Jesus Christ is the faithful or trustworthy witness and the first begotten of the dead. He is the preeminent one. He is the victorious one and the prince of the kings of the earth. He is the ruler of all. And then in verse 8, He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is everything and He comprises everything. He is which is, which was, and which is to come. He is immutable, just like God the Father. And He is the Almighty, the possessor of all power in heaven and earth. John was aware of who God was. And many have allowed circumstances to overshadow who God is. This is why John does not give much detail about Patmos. Patmos was nothing compared to all these other glorious truths. Notice fourthly, John's circumstances were overshadowed by his awareness of what Christ had done in his life. Verse 5, he says, "Him that loved us." Again, this is while he's on Patmos. And he's thinking about the love of Christ. John was one who lived in the wonder of the Lord's love for him. 5 times in the Gospel of John, he refers to himself whom Jesus loved. Doesn't ever refer to himself by his name in the Gospel of John. He just refers to himself as whom Jesus loved. 5 times. Then years later, decades, you come to 1 John, and John's still talking about the love of the Lord. Here is a man who was overwhelmed and overcome by the Lord's love for him. And now he's exiled to an island called Patmos as punishment for preaching and testifying Jesus Christ. And under extreme and very trying circumstances, he writes, "Unto him that loved us." What's he thinking about? He's thinking about the love of Christ. I'm here to tell you today it would do you good in your circumstances to think of the Lord's love. The Lord loved him, and John was very much aware of this fact. And it overshadowed Patmos. Notice also, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He's thinking about what Christ has done for him. He washed us from the filth, the vileness, and the putridness of our sins. And this is what John's thinking about while he's on Patmos. No wonder he didn't give much detail about Patmos. He was thinking about something else. It's the assurance of this that must overcome, must overshadow all our circumstances. Notice also verse 6, "And hath made us kings and priests unto God." He's saying Jesus Christ has brought us from a life of spiritual bankruptcy and ruin and misery and gloom and defeat and disgrace into the realm of abundant blessing and privilege. This is what is to overshadow Patmos. This is what's to overshadow all of our difficulties and all of our trials. Because no matter what your difficulties, it does not change this fact, him that loved us and made us kings and priests. None of that's changed by your circumstances. Fifthly, John's circumstances were overshadowed by his desire toward the Lord. Notice verse 6. "Unto him," or "to him, be glory and dominion forever and ever." The sentiment of John while in Patmos, "to him." To him be glory. Those two words, "to him," describe the center and the purpose of John's life. We've all done it. We allow circumstances, whether they be real circumstances or perceived, to overshadow the center and purpose of our life, which is the Lord. To Him. To Him. That should be the driving force of our lives. To Him. To Him. That's what it's all about. You see, when circumstances overshadow these things, it's because in our minds, it's not about Him. It's about our personal pleasure. And I'm not happy, and I'm going to let everybody know it. And I'm going to give them all the details as I see them. They may not be the actual details, but I'll give them to you as I see them. As I, a person who has lost sight of the main thing, as I see them. It's not about personal pleasure. It's not about personal fulfillment. It's not about personal happiness. Well, everybody deserves to be happy. Where do you get that? You don't get that in the Word of God. You should be happy. But does everybody deserve happiness? No. It's not about happiness. It's not about notoriety. It's not about popularity. It's not about our plans. It's all about Him. We must not allow circumstances to overshadow that. Now, most of us, or many of us, many of God's people, will put it that way. If they were writing Revelation 1 here, they would have spent the entire chapter on Patmos and what it's like. Here I've been faithful all these years, and I've been so mistreated. And they would go into great detail. But all John says was, I was in tribulation on the island of Patmos. Not because of crimes, but because of faithfulness to God. That's the only details he gives. Sixthly, John's circumstances were overshadowed by his anticipation of Christ's return. We see that in verse 7. Behold, He cometh. Whatever your trials, whatever your difficulties, whatever your circumstances, behold, He cometh. The problem is we behold the wrong things. Behold, He cometh. He comes as the conqueror. So we see John was anticipating Jesus Christ. And his circumstances did not overshadow his anticipation. Seventhly, John's circumstances were overshadowed by his spiritual condition. He says in verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And that is in the context of what is stated in verse 9. In tribulation on an isle called Patmos, I was in the Spirit. Though away from home and no way to get back, exiled to a place of great difficulty and hardship, place of suffering and misery, a victim of unfair treatment. And John was able to say, I was in the Spirit. I was in the Spirit. This describes the spiritual state that he was in. How you view your circumstances and your trials and difficulties depends much on the spiritual state that you are in. I was in the spirit. From the negative, that means I was not under the control of my circumstances. Oh, that we could always say that. I'm not under the control of my circumstances. Most people live their entire lives under the control of their circumstances. He is saying, I'm not under the control of the dictates of my flesh. I'm not under the control of fleshly attitudes and viewpoints or thinking. I'm not under the control of natural fleshly reasoning and actions. I was in the spirit. That is, I was above the ordinary. I was in the spirit. That means that he's sensitive to God. Oh, how many God's people in adverse circumstances, whether it be them or their family or whatever, and they lose their sensitivity to God. All you've done, my friend, is increase the difficulty of your circumstances. They've lost their sensitivity of God. But when John says, I was in the Spirit, he's saying, I remain sensitive to God. How many are heartened by their circumstances? In spite of being in circumstances that John would not have chosen. John would have never chose this. And there will be things that you and I will never choose, but we'll find ourselves in. In spite of things not going the way he would have preferred. In spite of all his difficulty and suffering. In spite of unfair treatment. It's unfair! It's unfair! And they go on for 10 years. It's unfair. It may be. But is that going to dictate your life? I was in spirit. John was in a heavenly atmosphere. What that means is his heart had come apart from Patmos unto God. I was in spirit. On the Lord's day. His circumstances didn't cause him to forget what day it was. He knew it was the Lord's day. Don't let your circumstances overshadow the Lord's day. Whatever your circumstances are, whatever your difficulties and your trials, it's not to overshadow the Lord's day. If it does, you're wrong. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He did not allow his circumstances to overshadow his spiritual condition. There's people who use circumstances 15 years ago, still using them as a reason not to serve God. And I don't care what happened. You're wrong. You're wrong to get stuck there. Lastly, John's circumstances were overshadowed by a personal experience of Christ. I'm in the Spirit on the Lord's day, he said, verse 10, and heard, oh, you'll hear wonderful things when you're in the Spirit, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. In other words, the voice was loud. The voice was clear. The voice was distinct. The voice was powerful. The voice was majestic. I heard behind me a voice. The Lord has his attention. And whatever your Patmos, whatever your circumstances, oh, to God that he would have your attention. That's where we need to be. God has my attention. I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. There were other sounds in that island that day, but this voice overshadowed them all. There are other things to be heard, but this voice overshadowed them all. Verse 11, saying, that is, this voice is saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. So he not only heard, but he heard what was said. There is a difference. You can hear voices in a distance and not hear what they're saying. But John says, I not only heard a voice, I knew what it was saying. I am Alpha and Omega. And notice it was said to him. Verse 12, the voice that spake with me. He was a voice. It was a majestic voice. He was a clear voice. And it was a voice speaking to me. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. So what he heard caused him to act. Many have allowed their circumstances to cause them to be deaf. The voice of God. And whatever else was going on, and whatever else anyone else was doing, it was all overwhelmed. It was all overshadowed by what John is now experiencing. Verse 12, and being turned, I saw. There was a lot to see on that island, but this overshadowed it all. And John proceeds to say, and I want you to realize, again, he gave us very little detail about Patmos. Very little. But what he's about to describe, he gives great detail. Because this is his focus. Because this overshadows everything else. Listen to people talk. And where they put the details. Where they place the details. Listen to them. Because it tells a lot where their heart is. John, in passing, mentions Patmos. Many of God's people, in passing, mention the blessings of God and give you all the details of their circumstances. Big difference. And the reason is because their circumstances have overshadowed. Their circumstances is their focus. But John is about to give us great detail. He says, being turned, I saw. And John proceeds to say, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And these are later defined in verse 20 as the Lord's churches. But that's not where he puts the detail. Seven golden candlesticks. But then he goes on in verse 13, and in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one. I like that word, one. In the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, I saw one. And oh, now he begins to give details. He goes on. Says in, he describes his clothing in verse 13, picturing his priestly and kingly garments, showing forth his dignity and honor, his high and noble position, characterized by his righteousness, his power and truth. In verse 14, he speaks of his head and his hair. Oh, he's going into detail. His head and his hair. Signifying that he is the Ancient of Days. Also in verse 14, he talks about his eyes. He's noticing details. He didn't give us the details of Patmos. He gives us the details of Jesus Christ. Because that's where his focus is. He describes his eye signifying the all-seeing ability of this one. And then in verse 15, he describes his feet. I mean, he's giving us details. His ability to trample upon the enemies. Verse 15, there's his voice signifying his authority. In verse 16, we see a description of his right hand and his mouth. And he closes in verse 16 with his face, signifying his beauty and his glory. What John saw overshadowed Patmos. What John was experiencing overshadowed Patmos. And notice the impact that this had upon him. Verse 17, and I fell at his feet as dead. Now, if many of God's people were writing this portion of Scripture, they would get stuck in verse 9. And they would have to say, I spent the rest of my years pouting and feeling abused. And I ceased serving God. And they give you all the details. And the details just kind of grow as time goes on. But John just passed it over. Because it wasn't his focus. He says, I saw him. And I fell at his feet as dead. Notice those words, I at his feet. Whatever your circumstances, real or perceived, doesn't matter. It needs to be I at his feet. That needs to be our position. I at his feet. I fell at his feet as dead. Patmos has been eclipsed. And we read, and he, the one I heard and saw, the one I just described, laid his right hand upon me. He felt and was aware of the touch of the Lord. And whatever your circumstances are today, you need to be aware and you need to feel the touch of the Lord. Patmos was overshadowed by this great event. And then notice, saying unto me, with his right hand upon me, he speaks. In verse 17 and 18, the Lord reminded John, there's no reason to fear, because the Lord is everything you need. He says, I am the first and the last. John, I know you're stuck here in Patmos, but I'm everything you need. That's still so today. Whatever your circumstances are, he's everything you need. Again, Patmos was overshadowed. He reminded him that he was presently alive. I am he that liveth. He reminded him that he was victorious and was dead. I was dead, but I liveth. I'm victorious. I've overcome death. And whatever your circumstances are, Jesus Christ has overcome far greater. And you overcome far greater in him. Patmos was overshadowed. He reminded him that he was always victorious, never to be overcome. I am alive. I am alive forevermore. John, I'll never be overcome. I'll never be defeated. And then he reminded him of his authority and have the keys of hell and death. And Patmos was overshadowed. And all the humility and the wonder and the awe and the jubilation and the praise that filled his heart while exiled to an island called Patmos. Patmos has been eclipsed by Jesus Christ. No wonder he didn't give us the details of Patmos. No wonder. He was focused on something far greater. In closing, we need to make personal examination. Are the circumstances of our life overshadowed by that which is far greater? Or do the circumstances of life overshadow that which brings joy and meaning to life? As I was reading this week, I've read these verses who knows how many times, hundreds and hundreds. And I just got stuck on the fact that John just mentioned his suffering almost in passing. Now we know why. John's circumstances were real. And circumstances are real. But there was something even more real to John. And that were these things that overshadowed Patmos. No one is denying that your circumstances aren't real. How you perceive them may be entirely erroneous, but no one is denying the reality. It can be perceived reality, whatever. No one's denying that. But what needs to happen is that which is greater needs to be more real than your circumstances. You need to feel the reality of these things to a greater degree than the reality of circumstances. God help us to be in the same position as John. We live in difficult days, and they're not going to get any easier. We had better make up our mind what we're going to focus on. Because I'm telling you, it will determine whether or not you remain faithful to the Lord. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us verse song.